Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this morning's drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of daily in-depth news, conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Tom, you'd think after saying that almost 300 times a year, it would come out easier over time, but yet it does not. Good
Zach,
morning to you.
I anticipated this moment for you, Zach, and I just made a second pot of coffee, so help yourself.
For me or for you?
Both. We'll get through it, buddy. We'll get through it.
Oh, man. I have Dr. Trujillo on the show tomorrow, Tom, which I bring up because you just read the news that opening schools bring students back. Not surprised, but I'm looking forward to getting more details. So that's going to be good. That's on the horizon tomorrow. But it is not Thursday. It is Wednesday. I'm excited for a conversation here to start the hour with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Locks, and we'll get into that in a minute. We started off a couple months ago talking about how for the first time since 1930, Gallup polling has shown that a minority, again, for the first time in almost 100 years, a minority of Americans are part of a church, mosque, or synagogue. Engagement with a faith community is at its lowest in almost 100 years. It varies across generations, so we decided to sit down with Generation Z, with millennials, with Gen X, with boomers. Today, we'll talk with a baby boomer. About church and the role that it plays in life and in culture from a baby boomer generational point of view. After that, Reyna Montoya will be on with us of Aliento, Arizona. Arizona's Republican-led legislature this week passed a resolution to put on the 22 ballot an item that would allow Dreamers to pay in-state tuition. This was a bipartisan vote. Almost the unthinkable was done. It was done this week. We'll have Reyna on to discuss as we close out the show. That is the roadmap ahead, 790-2040. It's the number that my guests this morning, Pastor Jeff Logston and Andy, used to call in. Let's first welcome in Pastor Jeff. Good morning to you, Pastor. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Zach. Great to be with you again.
You as well, as we, like I said, continue this conversation of the role of faith and culture and church and life as we look at how different generations are engaging it. Also really excited to have Andy with us. I know a dear friend of yours, Pastor, attends a church on the northwest side of Tucson. Andy, good morning to you, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, I'm gonna turn it over to you. You're our faith and culture contributor. Kick us off this morning. What do we want to hear and learn from Andy as we try to dig into the data here?
Yeah, a little more context. Andy, you mentioned, is a great friend, part of a church we would consider a partner in the Northwest at a live church, and they have a heart for the community in Tucson as a whole. And he is an entrepreneur, a businessman as well, and so involved in many ways in the community. But I think, you know, the relationship that we've been able to build over the last several years as we have to positively influence Tucson, I think has really been amazing. And I said, hey, Andy, as someone who represents the younger side of that, the spectrum for boomers, would you be willing to share your thoughts? And so he agreed to do that, and we wanted to just kind of get his insights on what it looks like in the local church and take it from there.
Yeah, Pastor, we've been asking our generations who've come on as special guests, why do you go to church? Why are you one of the, you know, now less than one out of every two individuals in America who go to church? And then the big question, this is varied across generations, Pastor, is what role should the church play in community and culture? You and I will get into that in coming weeks, but I don't know, Andy, I guess that's a great place to start. What is the role of church in community and in your life? And for those of your peers who are no longer engaging with the church, why is that? Two-part question, I guess.
Yeah, it's a multi-part question there. For me, the church is kind of everything in terms of my faith. I use that as my sun, essentially, and everything else circles around that, and I find my support in that and my comfort. I you know, when Jeff asked me to talk about this, I thought about that, and I thought, why the my peers and the guys I went to school with and have, you know, are not part of the church today. I think the church at my time, I can speak for only myself, but I think that it really failed us to introduce us to Jesus in a way that would carry us past the time our parents would take us to school. And so, you know, my 20s and 30s, you kind of slip into life. And I think that, you know, events of your life will bring you back to the church. And unfortunately, for some of us, that just, you know, never happens. So if you start talking about where I think the church and the community should be in the community, is we really need to be very engaged, and the church needs to be able to create that personal relationship with Jesus with our youth, and such that it grows it past the time that their parents are engaging them in the church, and that they will carry them through their life.
Pastor Jeff, I've got a ton of questions, but over to you. I'd curious your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I do too. I was just curious, from your perspective, Andy, was it your parents or other people in the community? Who were the people that influenced you or modeled what Christianity or being a Christ follower looked like on a practical day-to-day level?
Well, I think early it was my parents, you know, and I think they're coming from a different generation. It was much more, you know, institutionalized. Whereas today, I think we're more engaged in that. But my parents, I would have to say my parents early were that. And then, to be honest, later, it was really more of relationships I would build with our pastors.
I've often, kind of wondered in this conversation, because we see that, you know, certainly I think of the generation still really left and active. Baby boomers are, most involved in their church, in the community. Again, if you just joined us, we've been asking this question with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. Why is, for the first time in almost 100 years, a minority of Americans involved in a church, mosque, synagogue, an institution of faith? We're asking why this lack of trust and engagement in what has often been a key institution in our community. It's higher for baby boomers. It gets lower as we head towards Generation X, millennials, and the youngest really active right now, which is Generation Z. I'd be curious, Andy, both with just your experience, but also, you know, being part of a local church community, and because of your story, is this just a trend of age? Just younger people less involved in institutions in general, and as they get older, they get more involved in their institutions, faith or otherwise? Or are we in the middle of a trend that we really do need to look at and go, this isn't just about younger people or whatever? There is a drastic loss of faith and trust in the church and its role in community. What do you make of this historical moment? It's a really historical moment in a 100-year time frame. What do you make of it, Andy?
I think it's the decline, to be honest, of a much more serious thing that they are. It's not just the younger generation. It is the culture that's pushing us away from the church and distracting us, you know, with all the things, you know, all the things in life today. You see it that we're being distracted from faith, and we don't have that that model of our parents, of the great generation, let's say, or the older baby boomers, to look to. So much of their generation, you know, the next generation of, say, X, didn't have that connection with the church as much as the baby boomers and the great generation. And so they didn't have that role model, and the connection is getting weaker. Combine that with today's culture, unfortunately, I think it will continue to decline if something doesn't change.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, are you as pessimistic, or are you as how about, let me rephrase that? Are you as realistic, Jeff? Are you as realistic as Andy is? I think Andy's on point. Jeff, you're also a pastor of a church, involved in a church. What do you think of that? And what would you have to say back to Andy on this?
Well, I think the trends that Andy is perceiving are accurate trends. I think it requires a proactivity on part of leaders in the faith community to build those bridges, to minimize distractions. I think those are inherent challenges. I mean, you go into a restaurant and you see people sitting across from each other actively engaging with their devices, not each other. And so it's systemic, and there needs to be a proactivity in addressing that.
If I could jump in, Pastor Jeff, and I didn't expect to ask this many questions, but I'm really, just enjoying Andy's experience, a part of a partner church of yours, Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor. You know, even I grew up in a church, Andy, where the church was really a community hub for Monday through Saturday. And historically, the church as an institution has been a part of education, community development, poverty alleviation. Do you think that the 21st century American church has lost that connection to the community? I'm an optimist, so I'm not trying to be pessimistic. But when we ask, what is the role of the church in the community? It feels like the church today is really undershooting its historical legacy. Do you think that's on point, or what do you think of that?
Well, that's interesting. I think that's individual. I mean, there's some churches that are just doing amazing things in their community. And some that are kind of living off of historical kind of traditional methods. So I think that's really dependent on the pastor and the church that you're speaking about. But I think that's probably right. I remember growing up and, you know, we'd be at the church 2-3 times a week, and we'd be eating there and having all kinds of things going on and socializing, where that's becoming quite rare today. I think at best people are attending church, but I think it's harder for people to be looking at it as a community. And just in general, I mean, we don't do those kinds of things as much today. We don't socialize in those kind of environments, and we're all kind of too busy working and going about life to hang out at the church and, you know, play volleyball, you know.
Pastor Jeff, over to you to close.
Well, I think what I'm hearing Andy hint to is a shift, you know, from what the boomer generation has experienced as an institutionalized model, and what the world needs, what the community needs, what our local churches need now in terms of a faith community that is actively engaging and responding to the needs of its community. And I do think that there are a lot more people like Andy that want to contribute and be a part of that. How we do that, I think, is going to be one of the challenges for the church in this next generation.
Pastor Jeff, our faith and culture contributor, of course, just speaking, pastor of Hope City Church, helps us on a monthly basis kind of make sense of faith and culture. Also with us today is Andy from Alive Church up in the Northwest Side, kind of speaking as a baby boomer of that generation. The role of church and connection to community as we try to parse through the data that shows that America is now going to church less and secularizing faster. We don't say whether that's good or not on the show. We're just diving in and going, what's happening and what do we do about it? Andy, I really appreciate you coming on. And Pastor Jeff, thanks for coordinating this conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Andy, thank you so much. Great to be with you. We'll do it again soon. When we come back, Pastor Jeff and I will wrap up a bit of a shorter segment as we head to the bottom of the hour. And then Reina Montoya will be on Aliento, Arizona. The Republican-led legislature this week is supporting Arizona voters making the decision in 2022 about whether Dreamers will be able to pay in-state tuition. Kind of a big moment this week in Arizona. We'll talk about it with one of the organizers on the other side of the break. But one more segment with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, to go. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams, and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio this morning. This drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. I am your host, Zach Yenser, as we get into the weeds on the people, ideas, and stories in our local and state community that matter to you and matter to me. And matter to Pastor Jeff Loxton, our guest this morning, our faith and culture contributor. You know, Pastor Jeff, I think this conversation we just wrapped up with Andy, your colleague from the North Side, is really a part of an overall movement where we have seen decade over decade a diminishment of trust in all of our institutions except for the military. The military is the one institution that Americans still continue to trust at a high level, but there used to be a higher level of trust in Congress. There used to be a higher level of trust in the church. There used to be a higher level of trust in the idea of the family. There used to be a higher level of trust in local government. We've seen a chipping away of those things. You're our faith and culture contributor. Your thoughts on Andy's perspectives as a member of the baby boomer generation on church as an institution and what it means personally and in the community.
Yeah, there was Andy was saying, he mentioned a younger culture that's pushing away for whatever reason, intentional or unintentional. I tend to think it's more the latter, not the former. But, pushing away of the boomer generation. And then he also mentioned lots of distractions. Technology, use of technology could be one of those. I think there's multiple efforts that have to be made to reach people in whatever forms of communication are helpful to them. But the third thing that he mentioned also had to do with the institutionalized experience that he grew up with versus a church that is now needing to be and ought to be more engaging with the community that it's a part of. Those were some things that I took away. What did you hear?
Yeah, you know, I think one of my quick takeaways, and I think we'll talk about it in coming weeks, is I compared this, Pastor Jeff, with Patrick, our Generation Z guest, speaking at it from a generational perspective. And I think in the younger generations, there's this desire in some ways for the church to be more politically and socially active. And I actually think that that could have been part of the problem in getting us to this point in the first place. We'll like to unpack that with you. You didn't hear that from Andy on the baby boomer side, even though I think Andy's a special case. I think often older generations over time, certainly since the 80s, have wanted to politicize the church. But you heard from Andy a little bit more of the how does the church connect to community rather than what political or social causes does the church advance. And there is a kind of right-wing movement in the church and a left-wing movement in the church. And I think you and I are going to unpack is either particularly helpful and what is the role of the church in politics and social causes. So I thought that was uniquely missing. Pastor Jeff, can I read a listener message that they just messaged me over the break?
Yeah, please.
It's super quick, but an adult listener said, I believe many adults my age went through something similar. I was raised attending Catholic Church as I moved into my teens and began to hear and see, and then it was confirmed kind of some of the sexual abuse of church leadership in the church. It became an extreme turnoff. I became extremely disengaged with the church and saw the church as a form of social control. Pastor Jeff, that's the elephant in the room. In so many ways, I think we can't get around that when we have these conversations that trust has been truly broken often in the church as a human institution. How we see it as a divine connection is a piece of this conversation, but I wanted to share that. No doubt you've heard that before.
Yeah, and it speaks to what you mentioned about Patrick representing Gen Z had said the upcoming generation wants to have the hard conversations. And is there a place where we can do that together? And, you know, trust is probably something that happens over the long term. But if we're not having the conversations at all, then people suffer in silence. And that's really unfortunate, to say the least.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Jeff, I'll just be authentic, is we've been having these conversations for a while, and I get a lot of messages in like that of like, Zach, if you're not going to talk about some of the concerns of hypocrisy and trust in the church, you're not going to really do this conversation justice. We've been talking about that in our communities for such a long time. I always want to go deeper. We know that's the storyline. What else is happening? But I'm not ignoring it on purpose. Like, we've got to talk about it. And there's a lot of good men and women doing a lot of the great things and a lot of great churches. And I always want a spotlight that. But we have to be honest that the American church has misstepped quite a bit. And that trust has to be earned back from a cultural perspective, Pastor. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we recognize that the church is, I mean, it's cliche at this point, they're flawed people in the church, but the perception that those who show up on Sunday or who are turning their computers online on Sunday to hear a message, to believe that they have to pretend to be something they're not, is hurting us.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church, thanks as always for your guidance for these segments, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church here in Tucson. On the other side, Reyna Montoya, a big piece of legislation for Dreamers, bipartisan, the state legislature. We'll talk about it in a minute. Don't go away.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your tickets today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios this beautiful Wednesday morning for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. We just finished with Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor on the program. We touch bases with him a few moments weekly. Wisdom for weird times, making sense of an often senseless world. The last number of weeks, we've been talking about one institution among a few in this country that has been seeing a diminishing level of trust over a number of years, and that is, of course, the church in our local communities. I think it's a time to build. It's a time to rebuild and figure out how we restore faith in our democracy, faith in our local government, faith in our churches, faith in our families, faith in really everything but the military. The military is the only American institution that has withstood the test of the last 100 years of diminishing American trust in the local institutions that make up the tapestry of our community. Until we rebuild those things, we will find ourselves in the moment we're in today for a long time to come. So to me, that's the big idea that these conversations often land in with Pastor Jeff Loxton. But I'm looking forward to switching over to a different conversation. Arizona voters this week, per a bipartisan vote in the Republican-led Arizona State Legislature, will get to decide in 2022 whether to let undocumented immigrants who've been here for at least 2 years and graduate from high school, often known as Dreamers, to pay in-state tuition. Our guest here, Reyna Montoya, said this is a historic day. It was a historic moment. Really, a lot of people didn't see this coming, and it happened, and we want to stay on top of the story. My friend and guest now, Reyna Montoya. Reyna, great for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach.
So we'll get into some of the dynamics of this, but the SCR 1044, which was sponsored by Republican Senator Paul Boyer of Glendale, was the resolution that was passed. Tell us a little bit more about SCR 1044 and give us a little bit of the nitty gritty of that legislation for us, just to get us going here.
SCR 1044 would give the power to Arizona voters to undo the harm that has been happening for the past 15 years. Currently, if you have graduated Arizona high schools and you are a Dreamer, either undocumented or DACA student, you don't have the opportunity to pay in-state tuition. And this doesn't matter if you graduated with honors, if you graduated with, like, as an average grade, doesn't matter if you've been living here in the Arizona your whole time, like, you don't have that opportunity to pay in-state tuition because of an old proposition that was passed in 2006, accompanied with a wave of anti-immigrant laws.
With the tell us about Proposition 300 a little bit, Reyna, which prohibits undocumented immigrants from getting public benefits. This item on the 22 ballot that was just passed by the state legislature is going to ask voters to exempt post-secondary education from that list of public benefits that Proposition 300 prohibits. Tell us a little bit about Proposition 300, just trying to catch up here on what happened this week.
Yes, Proposition 300 was broken down into four components. One of them was around institution that was classified as a post-secondary education as a public benefit. It also scholarships that were funded by the local or state government. And it required, it had the third part, which was adult education, and the fourth part was childcare. So if you didn't have the opportunity to provide legal status, you would not be able to qualify for any of these so-called benefits. And I think that at that moment in 2006, when Proposition 300 passed, the way that it was sold, it was that all undocumented immigrants were getting welfare benefits, when in reality, like, you're not able to get any type of welfare benefits if you are undocumented. So I think that there was a lot of myths and a lot of misinformation that was being spread in 2006. And then I think right now, if we fast forward to SCR 1044 into 2021, I think that we have seen why we got bipartisan support, because I feel now people know who Dreamers are, and then they understand that they are neighbors, they are in the same classrooms, they go to church with us, and I think that now it's easier to debunk those myths.
Reyna Montoya is our guest this morning, heads up Aliento here in Arizona, an advocacy organization. The Arizona State House passed Senate Concurrent Resolution 1044 on a 33-27 vote. We're going to get into kind of the legislative logistics. There's some interesting pieces of this story, Reyna, that I want to get from you. But your parents brought you here to the United States from Tijuana, Mexico, when you were 13, correct?
That is correct. We were escaping violence. My dad, unfortunately, had been kidnapped, and it was a very tragic movement that we had to experience.
And you decided to stay in Arizona?
Yes, we actually had an internal migration from Tijuana, where I was born, into Nogales. And then for 3 years, between the ages of 10 and 13, I lived in the in-between space between Nogales and Chandler, Arizona. My dad moved first, and as soon as he was able to purchase a home in Mesa, Arizona, that's when we moved permanently. I went to Gilbert Junior High and ended up graduating from high school with honors. So definitely Arizona is the place that I call home, and I was very lucky that even though I was a junior in high school when Proposition 300 passed and impacted my ability of post-secondary education attainment, I got a private scholarship funded by private donors that allowed me to graduate with honors and two bachelor's degrees and a minor from Arizona State University.
Were you, I don't actually know the answer to this question, but I think I do. I know there's some difference between the idea of Dreamers and legislation, but did the DACA legislation that was passed during President Obama's terms in office, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, is that what you were impacted by and were able to stay in the state and all of that?
Yes, President Obama enacted the DACA program in June 15 of 2012. So that was just a month after I graduated college. So I was able to apply and receive and be a DACA recipient. I'm still a DACA recipient up to now, and I have to renew that every 2 years. But definitely that has opened up a lot of doors, where I was able to become a classroom teacher, where I taught high school in Phoenix, Arizona, and then eventually after that ended up founding my own nonprofit organization, Aliento.
Reyna Montoya is our guest here. You know, Reyna, it was interesting. You, as well as myself and others, have been a part of or have seen the research, and we've covered it on this radio program. A comprehensive Gallup survey of the state of Arizona actually shows that Republicans and Democrats, wide bipartisan support, in fact, support a pathway to citizenship for DACA and Dreamers, those who are here as children. often not of a choice of their own, an efficient pathway to citizenship. Widespread bipartisan support for that. I wanna before we go to break, start with this. I think one of the interesting pieces of what happened this week in the state legislature, as the House passed Senate Concurrent Resolution 1044 on that 33-27 vote, it was actually sponsored by a Republican in the first place, Republican Senator Paul Boyer of Glendale. When you sat down and chatted with Senator Paul Boyer, Reyna, why did he sponsor this? What was his interest in supporting the right for Arizona voters to make this decision ultimately in 2022?
Senator Boyer is an educator, and I think the fact that he has been in the classroom, he sees the great potential that our students have. I think that that really motivated him to support this. And the other reason is that as educators, I was a classroom teacher as well, just as Senator Boyer, we are taught that we want to carve those opportunities and those pathways to our students beyond high school, beyond K-12 system. And many people have different pathways. It might be a traditional 4-year degree like I did. It might be our technical career assistants. Maybe it's going to community colleges. So I think that there's not one model that fits all, but I think what really motivated Senator Boyer is that responsibility that it's good policy, right? It would not only help Dreamers and students, but it would also help our economy. I think that we heard it in this week from many of the Republican representatives that supported SDR 1044, that this is good for our workforce. We are a young economy, a new economy as Arizona, and if we're not educating our young people, our adult working population, we're going to miss the mark, and we're going to have companies that are not going to come to our state because we don't have an educated workforce.
Let's go to our first break of this conversation. Kind of set the table of what is SCR 1044. Four Republicans joined Democrats to basically pass this House resolution to say in 2022, we're going to ask Arizona voters to decide whether we will exempt post-secondary education from a list of public benefits passed back in 2006 by Proposition 300, prohibiting undocumented immigrants from getting public benefits. Arizona will now have the choice in a bit of a surprising bipartisan vote. So we're talking about it today with one of the organizers who made it happen, Reyna Montoya Aliento here in Arizona. We'll be right back. We'll wrap up on the other side and talk about where Reyna thinks Arizona voters are on this issue. We'll be right back. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Valley to Vail and everywhere in between. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Why I love where I live.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live.
Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're back here for this drive time hour of Tipping Point here in the 1030 The Voice studios in Tucson, broadcasting to all of Southern Arizona. A surprise vote in the Arizona State Legislature, surprise to many at least, was a bipartisan passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution 1044 in the Arizona State House on a 33-27 vote to ask Arizona voters in 2022 on the ballot to repeal a section of Proposition 300, which prohibits undocumented immigrants from getting public benefits. It'll ask voters to exempt post-secondary education specifically. It is up to the Arizona voters. I asked you, Reyna Montoya, our guest here, one of the advocates for this resolution, in the last segment, why this was sponsored actually by a Republican Senator Paul Boyer of Glendale. He was joined by three other Republicans in this 33-27 vote. Why did those other three Republicans join him? I guess I'm asking, what was your sense of why this was a bipartisan vote?
The reality is that this is a really smart and good policy for our state. We are seeing that when we disaggregate the data around college attainment, our Latino student population is at only 22% compared to 46% of our white counterparts. So I think that they're seeing that if we really want to achieve our educational attainment goals by the year of 2030, where we have as a state agree across party lines that we need to get to at least a 60% of working age population to get any type of college attainment or post-secondary attainment, and we're seeing that we are falling far behind. So these propositions like SCR 1044 will help solve one of those problems in order to have a good educated workforce as well.
Reyna Montoya with Aliento here in Arizona. Reyna, give us the numbers and pick a state university, or if you have it for all of them, what is the gap now between out-of-state tuition and in-state tuition, if you know what I mean? So if you're coming from out-of-state, what are you paying, say, at the U of A or ASU or NAU versus if you're an in-state tuition recipient?
Currently, if you are attending the University of Arizona or one of our other two public state universities, if you are a citizen and you pay in-state tuition, we're talking about approximately $10,000 a year compared to an out-of-state tuition that is approximately $30,000. In about a few years ago, the Arizona Board of Regents decided to do at-cost tuition that would qualify for Arizona high school graduates, regardless of immigration status. So then currently right now, they're paying 150%, which is approximately $17,000 a year. But something that is important to note is that if you are a Dreamer, you are not eligible for any financial aid or any scholarships that are funded by our local, state, or federal government.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask, that was going to be my part B question. I actually had a listener kind of comment in and ask about the interface of this and student loans. I was going to ask you, as a Dreamer, do you have access to student loans? But I mean, to me, and I try not to editorialize a ton during these conversations. To me, even if you did, that gap between $10,000 a year and $30,000 a year, to me is pretty incredible. I want to ask one last question on the process, Lorena, and then I want to ask you about Arizona voters. Your honest assessment, I know you're hopeful one, Reina, but as president of the advocacy group Aliento, but I want to get your pragmatic one. Where do you think Arizona is on this? But I think it's interesting, first before we go there, that it was actually the GOP-controlled Senate that approved SCR 1044. And it actually got stalled in the House, where Republican Speaker Rusty Bowers didn't even assign it to committee. You then kind of got to work and went around the speaker and ultimately got the votes to get it passed. But just the bipartisan nature of this is an interesting aspect of the story. It's a far cry from where we were in 2006. And then, you know, later on in the decade, it's really interesting to me. Again, whether our listeners today agree with it or not, I just wanted to have the conversation because I think this is a tipping point moment potentially in the conversation we've been having in the state, and I wanted to have that conversation with you, Reina, this morning. I mentioned earlier in our conversation that there is widespread bipartisan support across Republicans and Democrats in terms of voters. The voters in this state support a path to citizenship, support strengthening our immigration system, support strengthening security on the border, but also saying, look, Reina came here as a 13-year-old, wasn't your choice, but you're here, you're working, you're paying taxes, you're buying goods and services, you're living here, you know. And when Congress figures out over the next, you know, as it has in over the last 4 or 5 decades to figure this thing out, in the meantime, you're here. And so there's widespread voter support for a pathway to citizenship for DACA. I was wondering, does this connect to the 2022 ballot item? Do you think, Reina, Arizona voters are ready to repeal this section of Proposition 300 and allow undocumented immigrants to be eligible for in-state tuition? Are Arizona voters ready?
I 100% believe that Arizona voters are ready, not only from my hopeful side, right? I think that I have to remain hopeful as someone who has been impacted by these policies. But when we are looking at the data and when we're looking at poll results, this specific in-state tuition item has been pulled time after time. It comes with an overwhelming majority across party lines, and we also poll very good with independents. There's over 3 out of 1 ratio of independents that support this policy change. So I'm really, really optimistic as well when I see at the hard data, even the segregated by party line and by independents, that Arizona voters are ready to make this change because they know that this would not only impact students, Dreamers, but it would impact our economy.
Reina Montoya, there was a last question. There was an article in the Arizona Republic, and this is their writing. This is not mine. It was written by Elvia Diaz, an editorial columnist. She puts it this way, and I want to end on this note. Undocumented immigrants have forever been caught in a tug of war between employers who demand cheap labor and complicit politicians who turn a blind eye to workers' immigration status while publicly condemning them. I actually agree with that paragraph, and I'm really tired of both Democrats and Republicans saying the right thing, but not actually solving the problem. I'm sure you are as well. What is your organization advocating for to once and for all figure out how to simplify and strengthen our immigration system, Reina Montoya?
For me, it's really simple. It's been 4 decades of inaction from the federal government, and I am really proud to call myself an Arizona today and seeing that our Arizona state legislature within their laws and within their power are doing something that is about in-state, that is about education. And at the federal level, it's really up to Senator Kelly and Senator Sinema to stop this inaction. We are seeing that bipartisanship works when it comes with good policy that is going to impact all of us, and it is time for our senators to lead and to listen to Arizona voters. An overwhelming majority, regardless of party affiliation, say that they want a pathway for citizenship for Dreamers. So why don't we start with solving our most pressing issues that all of us agree on?
Lorena Montoya, great to have you with us this morning to report on a very interesting decision by the Arizona State Legislature. I appreciate your time during a busy week and looking forward to future conversations as we both have a shared hope that both Republicans and Democrats get their act together and actually solve this problem once and for all. Lorena Montoya, I appreciate you, and we'll do this again soon.
Thank you so much, Zach. Have a wonderful day.
Let's try that again. Lorena Montoya, president of advocacy group Aliento here in Arizona. That does it for our show today. When we come back into the studio tomorrow, you know, I thought this was interesting, Tom, when you were reading the news. Opening schools brings back students. And I'm really not trying to be cheeky, but yes, we knew that was going to happen. It shouldn't take a lot of research to figure that out, but a lot of research has been spent to say when you open school, students come back post-COVID. Yes, indeed, that is how it works. We'll have Dr. Gabe Trujillo tomorrow from Tucson Unified School District, Southern Arizona's largest district. We'll be on to discuss updates, as always, and discuss what opening schools has done, has meant for the district and the district's families, and what COVID policy looks like after summer break. Then Republican Supervisor Steve Christie down here in Pima County in Southern Arizona will be on for an update. He is the single Republican on both the County Board of Supervisors and the Tucson City Council. It's always good to hear his point of view and get his thoughts on the issues that we're facing and the news that we're listening to and reading here in Southern Arizona. That's our show tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. In the meantime, today, Hugh Hewitt up next, Bill Buckmaster at noon as always. Lots more local news and talk as we try to be your one-stop shop here on 1030 The Voice for all the local, state, and national news you need and want to stay connected. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our guests. We'll be back tomorrow. Meantime, stay safe and healthy, Tucson. Take care. See you on Thursday tomorrow.